The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho. Talk is Jericho, mama. Talk is me.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And today, happy, happy Halloween, 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 happy, happy Halloween. Oh, I've been trying to get these next guests on since I started the show 5 years ago. It's taken a while, but it's definitely worth the wait. One of my favorite rock and roll bands of all time, Pumpkins, unite, because today I've got Halloween on Talk is Jericho. Finally, original bass player, OG Marcus Grosskopf, and new guitar player for the last 15 years, Sasha Gerstner, sat down with me in Budapest. Both our bands were playing the Pheasant Festival there, and we managed to squeeze in an interview before Halloween hit the stage. You're going to hear how the whole Pumpkins United tour came to be, managing with two singers, both Andy Daris and Michael Kiske are back in the band, along with Kai Hansen, and why the current lineup works so well for them. They're huge. They're playing arenas. We're also talking about the early days of Halloween, what slowed the momentum that was leading them to superstar status in the world of heavy metal in the late 80s. We're talking power metal. Did they invent it? I think they did. Early albums like Walls of Jericho. Sound familiar? That's where I got my name, man. Most importantly, whether they're planning to continue on once the Pumpkins United tour wraps up later this year. Will there be a new Halloween studio record? Will there be more touring in the future? Marcus and Sasha answer these questions and many more coming up. It's better than Raw. Halloween is here. And the Judas Rising Tour is also here. Fozzy rolls on tonight in Joliet, Illinois at the Forge. Joliet, I believe, Omaha on the 6th. Des Moines, the 7th. Minneapolis, the 8th at First Avenue. That's Prince's Place, September 9th. And Fargo at the Sanctuary. All my peeps in Winnipeg, come on down. I know Teddy Irvin will be there. Also, we're doing Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, Columbus, Cincinnati, Louisville. The list goes on and on and on. Jacksonville, North Carolina. Huntington, West Virginia. Greenville, South Carolina. Greensboro, North Carolina. Lake Buena Vista, Orlando, Florida. Tampa, Florida. Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The Culture Room. Rock Allegiance in New Jersey, October 6th. Come on down, FozzyRock.com, for all information about the Judas Rising Tour featuring Adelita's Way, Stone Broken, and The Stir. And then in November, we head over to Australia and New Zealand. Auckland on the 7th, Melbourne on the 9th, Sydney 10, Adelaide 13, Brisbane 14 at the Triffid. And then we go to 3 days grace in Canada, Moncton, Halifax, Quebec City, Montreal, November as well. As the Judas Rising Tour winds down, we still got a lot of rock and roll to give you. Go to FozzyRock.com for all the ticket information, including how to buy tickets for Fozzy's legendary VIP meet and greets. We're one of the best in the business. We play a mini concert for you. We take pics, we sign, we hang out, we answer your questions. Anything you want, one of the greatest VIP, best values you're going to get in all of rock and roll. Go to FozzyRock.com for all details and information on how to make that happen. All right. In the meantime, in the between time, here we got Pumpkins United. It's time for Halloween on Talk is Jericho.
Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween to worship rock. Happy, happy Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Happy, happy Halloween to worship rock.
One, two, one, Jack.
Yep. Okay, so we're here in lovely Budapest, which I thought was Bucharest until I got to the airport and realized we're not flying to Bucharest, it's Budapest, with Halloween. And you were saying, Sasha, that you didn't know how you should act on this interview.
Yeah, because I heard you're into wrestling and stuff, and yeah. Marcus and I, we were talking about if we should speak in a normal manner with you, with a normal voice, or if we just switch on the WWE voice, like the announcing voice, like, you kick, you cook your face,
you
know.
We come to your door, we get you all, you come on.
Oh, you guys are training really hard.
My state sasha, you're a dead person already.
If you don't play March of Time this evening, I'm going to kick your ass.
See, but the funny thing about my show is I have many different types of people on, wrestling and music and comedians or whatever. And I mentioned that I had Tony Iommi on, and the day I interviewed him was the day I hosted that awards show. I sent you the picture of me, Tony Iommi, and Charlie from Anthrax, and I was wearing a Halloween shirt.
All right.
Yeah. So there you go. Mate. So we have everything. So you could talk wrestling, and I can talk the German accent with like Halloween does.
With a Halloween accent.
You can have some accent, like, no problem. Like we're totally into it. We're good with that, you know.
Like funny, like speaking funny English.
Yeah. No, we're also
that's right, yeah.
Those guys they keep telling me, and especially our crew guys, they keep telling me, hey, do the American voice when we're on tour, and then I'm switching to this trucker, you know, like, hey, you guys, you were awesome, you were kicking ass tonight, you know, like this kind of Lars Ulrich American right? style, and then you know your bass player, he kicks ass, you kind of, you know, he banged my wife behind a trailer in 1988 or I don't remember, was it 1987 or 1988, you guys rock.
I was going to ask him for that trucker story behind the
so
the bass place.
And every time when there's
did this really happen? Is that a true story? You didn't even remember.
I forgot.
But people sometimes approach you that way. So
right.
So and that was copying it. And every time when there's a party going on, it's like, Sasha, do the American. You know?
Which is also your trucker is also similar to your wrestling voice too. There's a little.
We had once. You're laughing. We once had this. This kind of guy as a bus driver in the States.
Wasn't
he
called Larry?
I don't remember.
Of course his name was Larry.
Yeah,
every bus driver is Larry.
I don't remember his name.
Vikey says that's right, yeah.
I don't remember his name, but he was that kind of military hairstyle, haircut, you know, and he was that kind of guy with this, what do you call it?
Big beard, the goatee?
Yeah.
Goatee, yeah.
So
he had that
and
style.
He was speaking that way. You go bus you, you know, you kill your day.
And the other, the very first one we had, wasn't he called Flyer or something? He was like very fast. We were always like there on time and all that. And then he was like, I once had a bad bad feet, yeah, right, from stage.
Bad feet?
I banged it, and then I couldn't really walk. And he was like carrying me into the hotel, getting the ice packs on my legs, rolling me some spliffs, putting it into my mouth, and giving me a good time for a good rest, saying, I'll bring you a steak later on, I'll don't worry, I'll take care of you. And
it's so important, though, to have, like, when you talk about a crew and even a bus driver, to have somebody that you can hang out with and that will do that with you, you know?
Makes it all very...
Yeah, we had a bus driver once. He wouldn't stop smoking in the cab of the bus, so the smoke would go through the system, and it would always end up in my bunk. And as the singer, you can't have the smoke. And we kept telling him, "Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it." And finally, I just had to grab him. Don't you ever smoke again. I went wrestler on him. You understand me? Don't smoke again.
Yeah.
And he smelled so bad that he took a shower. We were in Paris. He took a shower, and the shower smelled of BO after he took a shower. That's
the shower started to smell like him.
Yes.
We don't have a smoker's issue.
No.
Do we?
But we don't even have showers.
So you don't have an issue with either one, right? But here we are in Budapest. I got to make sure it's not Bucharest, Budapest. And in the middle of the Pumpkins United tour, which has just been massive, and I've been a big Halloween fan since, you know, 1985, and just to see, I would say the band might be bigger now than ever before.
Yeah, it's been an amazing thing getting those two guys back in, and the idea of keeping the new old members while you get in the old new members was the greatest thing.
Right.
You know, I love it.
It's interesting because it's kind of what Iron Maiden did years ago, but you also have now two singers. So how did this, I mean, it's the question that's been asked, but just as a fan, how did this all come about? And did you always have the idea to keep it seven? Because now it's almost like a rock opera on stage with so many different guys.
It's like, well, when we started doing this, you know that Hellbook we did? The Hell Book.
Yeah. It was like
there's
a big
lot of
coffee
pictures
table book
from the very very beginning days, even childhood pictures from each members, and there's like sections where each individual members tells their feelings about what was happened and how they feel in general about Halloween and about all this. That got back a lot of memories and getting you kind of emotional thinking, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody went like, okay. It took a while.
Oh, yeah, man, good to see you.
It took a good tag. You come into my town, Kai Hansen, you're going to be a dead man. You're a dead person right now.
He wants to do the wrestling voice.
So that got us a little emotional thinking about what was happening and seeing all those very, very old pictures with that little stories behind it, you know. Mm-hmm. That was kind of a trigger to me and thinking, wow, that would be a cool idea. Mm-hmm. But then it took another couple of years, of course, but it got me thinking.
Was it interesting for you, Sasha, when you have Kai comes back and now you have three guitar players? How was that trying to figure out all the different parts that you guys would be playing?
Actually, it was really exciting because, of course, we always had that kind of problem being two guitars and you, of course, you record more tracks when you're doing an album. And then when we did this twin guitar solos, there was always missing that extra punch of rhythm guitar which you have on the record. And now we can do those kind of things, you know, so playing rhythm guitar while two of the guys are playing twin guitar melodies, and then sometimes we play three voice solos and stuff, so it's exciting. Mm. It's,
and I just refuse to have a second bass player right next to me. There can only be one.
Only you. That's right. Only you. But were you surprised when the reaction was so big across the world?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Really surprising tour so far. Really, really surprising. And we thought it might be some little bang, you know, but having it that way, we never thought of it before. Mm-hmm. So
because it's been playing arenas, you know, I've seen Mexico City and all these different places.
Yeah.
It's very nice because when we started booking the tour, you don't have like an idea what you probably know that there's going to be some more people, but you never knew that it's going to be that massive. So you start booking and it's going to be, should we book that venue or should we book that venue in advance where nobody really knows what's going on, you know?
But right.
It wasn't that way. Normally you think like, okay, let's see how the ticket sales are going when you're starting out a tour. And then sometimes, of course, you have people, they go to the show and paying for the ticket right before they go into the show, you know? So to have those kind of big arenas sold out in such a short amount of time was really, really surprising. So
that's what I mean. Like you're dealing with 8,000-10,000 people in some of these countries.
Yeah, and especially in our home country, which is not very, very common, especially when you're a heavy metal band, because we have this kind of stigmatized thing going on the media in Germany about heavy metal bands. So if there's one heavy metal band really, really huge, they can't stop recognizing them, they will call it rock band, you know. So it's this heavy metal term is stigmatized, so we never thought that we could play an arena with 5,000 to 8,000 people in Germany.
Really, it's all across Germany?
No, it's not all across Germany, but we had a few really, really big shows there, and that's just crazy. And we will have some more to come, and that was for us as a German band was really nice to have, you know.
I think too, like
trying to know them all by name each night is very, very complicated.
It's hard.
It gets harder every night.
But it's interesting though, as like I said, as like a longtime fan of all the albums and all the lineups. There's just something about having, you know, Michael Kiske, Andy Daris together that it makes it like we've never had this before in a heavy metal band with two singers. I mean, there might be a few bands, lower bands or whatever, but it's such an interesting concept, you know.
It is. And they both can shine in their best way, you know. Andy has a very good rock growling voice.
Yeah.
He's very good.
More ballsy.
With a low key songs. He rhythm himself as well. And Michael Kiske is Michael Kiske. Everybody knows what he's about when he's singing. So it's a really great combination. And we never thought of that either in the beginning. So and they both personally get very, very well along, and yeah, so it's...
I think it's also like one of the main aspects that those two front persons are really, really good together.
It's
that
like a perfect match, you know?
That, that makes it very, very easy to stand behind it and play a cool bass or play guitar. Or in general, you know, those two guys are really together with what they are doing.
Yeah.
And they sit and drinking some wine, drinking some coffee, sharing a piece of cake.
Actually,
it's
actually...
It's a very good understanding that makes the whole thing so easy.
Right.
Actually, they get well, so they get along so well... they're like really a perfect match, and even on stage they have this behavior together. You can really see they like each other.
But you never know how that's going to be. You have two lead singers, right? Sometimes the lead singer disease, the LSD of the two guys in the band who are just have these egos or the frontman's personas.
Yeah. Right now it feels like one ego is like a one big band ego, which is on stage. It doesn't feel like
we all share one ego.
It's all, everybody's pushing in the same direction, so great.
How was it hard to kind of figure out what songs that you would play?
Oh, that was hard.
That was really hard.
And like, we're still sometimes thinking, all right, well, it's gonna be that song or this song. I mean, with a back catalog like this, and now being able to have a very long show because of having two singers. One single singer, 2.5-3 hours is very
good.
Very
point.
You cannot really do this, but then playing a lot of songs, but still thinking, well, we should have squeezed in that song or this song. There's still a lot of songs we would like to, but you know, there's a future.
And sometimes there's songs that you play and you realize that the fans just don't react to them the way you thought they would. Or is it not?
Then we have like two or three songs we can change if, if we think that song doesn't fit the mood from the part of the set. Yeah. It is just in, you know.
It's also about
get another song with a different attitude, and then it fits more.
Right. Sure.
And if you plan such a show, it's also about having the right balance, you know.
Yeah, that's.
Of course, you can play a lot of speedy songs if you want to, but it doesn't make it a good rock show, you know. So. You also have to balance it a bit and have some drama in it, and we have this video content and stuff. So it was not an easy task.
Sure, yeah. Like you said, you have to have the heavier songs, the slower songs, the faster songs, and
then you can't kill people in 3 hours, you know. So we had to figure out in the beginning how to make like little breaks and positions for songs to make it enjoyable, you know. Mm-hmm.
And how to give them a chance to survive after 3 hours show.
That's a long show.
One go, you know.
That's like a Springsteen show, right?
He's gonna play very
Yeah, he plays
time,
three hours all the time.
And in the rain.
One singer. Yeah. Wow.
That's right.
Wow.
That's an interesting point, like you said, because there's some songs that both guys sing on, and there's other ones where one guy will sing and do whatever song is theirs. Were you a Halloween fan when you were a kid, Sasha?
I should say yes, because that would please everyone, but no.
Okay,
so
really?
No.
He buys me a beer later.
Yeah. No, of course it would be a great story. So this long time Halloween fan went to high school with a Halloween shirt on, and then he joins his heroes, you know?
The old story, right?
I really got to know them from a mixtape a friend of mine made, and I just knew two songs, and I didn't know it's Halloween, because whenever I saw someone with a Halloween shirt, I thought that's kind of a speed thrash metal band, and I wasn't into it. I was more that kind of...
Yeah, it was at the time,
I was more... In school, I was more into Peter Gabriel, and then later on when I started out playing guitar, I discovered Michael Schenker and AOR bands and Journey and Toto and stuff like that, so I wasn't like a real hardcore metal dude, you know?
Right.
And then later on when I came into the scene... Then I discovered them more, and I got to know them well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
It's it's interesting, Marcus, with you and Feike being kind of the two original members of the band. And you mentioned, you know, when you started out as a very kind of a speed thrash thing. But now the term power metal is a term that everyone uses. But I would say that Halloween might have been the first ever power metal band.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just thought, well, having a singer like Michael Kiske, when we decided there's a lot of guitar work and singing after the Walls of Jericho, thinking about maybe we change, get a singer in, and then we have can have a wider range of what we can do with the guitars and the vocals, and then having the ideas of like doing songs like Dr. Steen and I Want Out and all those songs. We had those ideas, and why limiting yourself? We thought, all right, let's give it a try. We have a new singer. We can also add a new part from what you can do.
Kind of write it along.
That's an interesting thing, which I like when I joined the band, that everybody in the band has a different background. So, you know, you didn't have to be necessarily a metalhead to create something in that genre. So, because you were saying, like, it's the first power metal band, and if you ask Feike, he would tell you, I like the Beatles, and I like Rolling Stones, or whatever, you know?
Sure, sure, sure.
And most younger bands, if you would ask them, they would say, like, we like Metallica, and Halloween, and whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then they create their music on top of that, you know, with that influence. And so, here you have Purple fans, and people like Peter Gabriel, people like the Beatles, and then you take your abilities, you go in a rehearsal room and you take your abilities, and then you just create something. And that was for me really, really interesting to see that you don't have necessarily like diehard metal fans, you have just music enthusiasts, you know?
Well, and that's the thing.
It's just like when I started off with doing punk music, like I'm still a big fan of the Ramones and the Sex Pistols, XTC and the Clash and all that, you know? But then later on you hear other bands, like then I was starting listening to AC/DC and all that, and then once you go into that, you of course go back finding Deep Purple and Black Sabbath and bands like this, and then you suddenly find yourself listening to Chuck Berry music someday.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I like that adventure.
But I think that's part of being a musician and being a music fan, is a good song is a good song. I mean, you could take a Slayer song, and if a doo-wop band, the doo-wop, you know, sang it a cappella, it could still be cool.
Yeah.
And when I remember like when I was in high school in the 80s, if you were a metal guy, you weren't allowed to like Peter Gabriel or Duran Duran or you know, or even the Beatles.
And they all listened to it in secretly, you
of
know.
Of course. Because it's good music.
Yeah,
it was like even in the old times, you actually weren't allowed to listen to the Stones and the Beatles.
Right.
It was like you're either a Beatles fan or a Rolling Stones fan.
You had to choose.
It's always like the nice guys. Although they did something badly behind this.
That's right.
But the Rolling Stones were more like they did it in very, very obvious and were the devils of the scene kind of thing.
Sure.
I never understood why it has to be like you either listen to this or that. But it's still, to me, it's like fantastic music from both of them bands.
Of course. Yeah. Why should you have to decide?
Just like putting it in categories and... Sometimes.
But you've had that before, even when I think back to like the Chameleon record, which was not a power metal album.
No.
And you guys got in trouble for that.
A heavy metal album.
Right. When I saw you guys in Hamburg in 93 is when we met. I was there wrestling and I went to the show with, do you remember a guy called Kai Karshevsky?
Of course.
Yeah. His dad drew the cover of Walls of Jericho Keeper and
Airbrushing.
And remember the heavy metal kid were very angry at the Chameleon record, like how can Halloween do this, you know?
But you know what, on the other hand also the Dark Ride and records which were not typical Halloween, on the long run it gave the band the ability to have a broader spectrum, which is really nice. So I find that interesting in life, to see that sometimes decisions who seem to be the wrong decisions in the first place, on the long run it can hold something for you. And now we are able to have speedy songs, of course, and then we have ballads, and then we have like rock songs. Andy isn't exactly coming from the metal scene either. He was in this hair metal and on hard rock. He has this hard rock background, you know.
He's coming from that scene I used to call the Hairspray Hell.
Yeah.
And Hairspray Hell.
Yeah. By the way, he's a huge Kiss fan, so
yeah, sure.
It's a different background, and then you have him writing a lot of those hard rock songs, and I really like that a Chameleon album in the end turns out to be a good thing because the spectrum is broader now.
Well, but after all those years doing all what we did, and we've been forgiven, but took a long time bringing a record out like Chameleon at the time was like very complicated going on tour. Of course, they wanted to see Halloween, and during the Chameleon tour, there was a lot of different tracks.
Chameleon songs, yeah, I remember that.
In that one, and well, it wasn't always easy, but after all those years, I think it's still cool to have something like this in the back catalog.
Well, I think it gives you diversity and it gives you longevity. I mean, if you're talking about, I think there's only two bands in the history of music that can do basically the same record over and over again, and it's AC/DC and it's Slayer. Other than that, it gets very boring very quickly for the musicians and for the fans themselves if it's always the same.
Yeah, but I would say if AC/DC would do something totally different, totally
that might
different
help
from
them.
What they... Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think I would... Then I would be a bit, you know, like, confused about it.
Yeah, because you expect that from them, yeah.
It's like they never did anything else. And if Angus Young decides to do some... different, very, very different.
A ballad kind or of something, stuff.
Yeah. And I would go like, what's that?
I think Halloween is like a big base or a big body that isn't filled up with all musical ideas. And then in the end, when we're gone, it might be full. And then you see what's in there, like from the whole back catalog and stuff. And I think it's really interesting. Not many bands are able to be so diverse, you know.
And also the good thing.
And you have this little Halloween surprise box, you know. you never know what's gonna happen. Yeah. But then in the end of the day, there's this body, and all you fill in has to fit in. And when I remember the first time I met Michael when I joined the band, he wasn't asking about the background, so it was more, do we like the same music?
You're talking about Kiski?
No, I'm Wyketh. Yeah. And we were talking about what kind of music do we both like? What kind of movies are we watching? What kind of humor we have together? How do we get along? And what is the musical abilities? And does it fit to that construct, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was more about that. How does your musical ability fit into that body, which is called Halloween?
Well, and plus you're coming in there taking the place of many great guitar players, so there's a lot of pressure and responsibility on your end too.
And see, here's the thing: at one point in my life, I stopped being a guitar player, and he liked that. I was like, I don't feel like a guitar player. I feel like a musician. And he told me, job description is not only playing guitar. Job description is writing good songs.
Right.
And I came into the band to write songs. And to have this lifestyle and being with good people on the road, you know. And
because like we said earlier, it's not just the musicians, it's the chemistry that you have on the bus, in the hotel, sitting outside on the patio like we are today.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a guy that you don't get along with, it's not going to last very long.
Absolutely.
And you definitely know how it is. You travel a lot, and then the 2 hours show, after all, it's just like on the end of a...
That's the bonus.
...of a travel, you know?
That's right.
And then if you don't like to travel, if you don't like hanging out with people, if you don't like waiting for the show, if you hate this, you're definitely in the wrong business.
That's right. It's not going
to
last.
You need to get along, and you have to know what it's about. What's the band about? What's the music about? What's that range you can bring on in your ideas? And that's what it's about, yeah.
We're talking about touring, and you guys are getting ready to go back to the States for probably the biggest tour you guys have ever headlined in the States, I'd have to say, as far as the venues that you're playing and the rooms that you're playing. I think they're bigger.
I don't know the venues we're going to play.
Not yet,
No.
I've seen, they're big ones. Like the Palladium in London is like...
All right.
That's where Lamb of God plays.
Right.
It's a 2,500-seater.
Oh,
there's some big rooms. The room you're playing in Chicago, we played there with Slash, so that's a Slash level venue. Are you excited? Is it important for you to be big in America with so many other countries where you're playing in front of 10,000?
To me, it's like I've been there very, very often, and we did from clubs to medium size, or probably what we call a medium size venue in Europe, is a club in America, probably, mm-hmm. right? Because right. the burger is bigger, the medium coke is bigger. So you know right. what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah,
totally. So it's very, very interesting and cool to see what happened when we go there next time with the people yeah. we got in now, mm-hmm. with the band we got now. That's I would like to see.
Because there's no package, it's just Halloween and you know local yeah. bands. Or
that's
whatever.
What we've been on for the whole tour.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's amazing yeah. to think about so, that.
Let's hope that those venues are really packed.
Yeah. I think they will be because there's a lot of a buzz. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of Halloween fans in the States. Do you know the band Avenged Sevenfold?
Yeah.
The lead singer, M. Shadows, is a huge Halloween fan, and that's how we became friends. We even got matching pumpkin tattoos.
There you go.
There you go,
that's
yeah.
nice. That's nice.
So he's excited, and there's a lot of a buzz because of this new life Halloween. Which is cool.
And they're
amazing.
Pretty much like traditional heavy metal music, right?
They're a little bit more modern, but they've got a lot of dual guitar solos. There's a lot of Halloween influence yeah. in what they do.
You can hear that, yeah.
Yeah, there is.
What I really find interesting throughout the years when we came to the States is that we figured after we went there, people were telling us, "When do you come to the States?" So it's nice, you know, it's nice to hear that there's a little buzz going on and people get to know about it because yeah. sometimes I had that feeling that you get there, but you don't reach each fan and you don't reach everyone there. If you don't have like a big standing there as a European band, it's really nice to hear that people are getting info about the show.
Well, it's funny because you're very active on social media, on Instagram, you post a lot,
yeah.
as am I. And every time we play, let's say we play a show in New York, we'll be promoting it on Instagram. Tonight we're in New York. You know, a month from now we're in New York. Twitter, New York, New York, New York. The next day, every time, I'll get 10 people. So when do you guys play in New York? Last night! If you're looking at me on social media, yeah. how did you not know I was playing yeah. last night, you know? That's always the way. When was your first tour? Was your first time in America with Halloween?
That was like Grim Reaper, Armored Saint.
Yeah.
I quite remember that. Kai was supposed for a German magazine to write some notes down, like a diary.
Diary, mm-hmm. yeah.
For this day we did this, and after 2 months I told him, show me your diaries, let's see what we can maybe... you know, wipe out, or all right, and he showed me the thing. It was like, today is the 24th of June, and we just landed in Washington, D.C. Empty pages. He couldn't tell anything.
Black pages, right? But Marcus, when you
and
think...
that was great. Going there for the very first time, not knowing what to expect. Mm-hmm. I love it. It's been a great time. When you're doing something for the very first time and it succeeds and it's great, you know, it always be in your mind.
What were some of the big differences that you remember for the first time that you noticed in America?
Sorry?
The big differences in America from Germany.
And like when we did like this first, after the first American tour, which we did as like a support for Grim Reaper and Armored Saint, and then right after this, like 3 hours after this tour, we needed to go to Japan headlining, so we needed 1.5 more hours music. So we rehearsed that, we instead of going home and then rehearsing at home, going back to Germany, rehearsing there, we decided to stay in LA.
Uh-huh.
Booking a studio there, rehearsing there for the rest of what we needed.
The time, you know,
and then we stood there for 3 hours, went to Japan from LA, staying there for rehearsals and meeting all this, you know, Hairspray Hell guys, drinking with them, going out to the Rainbow all night after rehearsing. It's just like walking the strip all night. And
it was the place to be back then,
yeah,
right?
It was great. I mean, it was a time where... you see the guys on toilet doing the hair and thinking, oh, am I in the wrong locker room? No. But, you know, it's been very, very mucho fun. I really like that.
How about you, Sasha, the first time you came to America? Was that on the, was it Rabbit Don't Come Easy?
It was the Rabbit Don't Come Easy tour, yeah. I think we toured with Czech Panzer mm-hmm. back then. That was the first time, yeah. And I think we did two legs there, right... we toured the north of the States and then the south.
What did you notice different?
Tour buses were bigger.
Yeah.
Back then.
Everything's bigger.
Yeah. Everything's bigger, and people are very open-minded, which I really like. That they get in Germany, they're not so open-minded. They're kind of shy, you know. Mm. So, and in the States, you would walk the street, and you see someone coming, crossing the street, coming over to you and just speaking to you. That was like the first time I experienced it. I was like, "Whoa, what's going on? You know, oh, where you come from?" And you know, they just speak to you, and I like that.
That's cool. That's
and very, very friendly and open.
It's great in America, you're having a day off like this, and then you have a day off just hanging around in the hotel, deciding I'm hungry, let's go to some bar somewhere in some shopping mall, and you sit down, drink a beer, having a burger whatsoever, having a steak, people asking where you come from. And then the great thing about it is, like, everybody knows, like, Stevie Ray Vaughan, they can be 70 years old talking to you. I know the Scorpions. Didn't they have that song with that guitar solo? Yeah, I know Stevie. It's so much more bluesy and rock and roll going on, where German people don't have a clue about.
And they don't mind what kind of genre you're in. They're asking you, and if you say, "Yeah, we're a metal band from Germany," they're like, "Oh, metal, great,
that's cool from Germany."
You know, when you say we're a metal band, and when you say that in Germany, they're like, "Oh,
it's a dirty word."
Yeah. Yeah.
And in America, everybody knows about rock and roll, even. Like the old people coming, "Oh, tell me about Germany. I know rock and roll, Scorpions," and they listen to blues and rock music, because you had so much more like radio stations for rock and roll in the very early days. We had some in Germany, in Europe, but not as massive, you know.
It's still built around, in the States, built around rock radio. Mm-hmm. And people tell you, "Oh, rock radio is dead," but like, even for our band, we have 2 top 10 hits on the rock radio there, and it just through the roof. Mm-hmm. And I have a radio show on Octane. I played Halloween last week.
Oh, right.
And people are like, "Oh, you played Halloween on the radio. It's so great to hear Halloween on the radio." People still respond to hearing the song on the radio.
Yeah.
Whereas in Europe, it's still more magazines and that sort of a thing, right?
Yeah, which is also dead already. So, and
it's like
magazine.
It's
growing. It's still there, but it's on another level.
It's in Europe, rock music and heavy metal music is this huge underground monster.
Yeah,
it's underground. Nobody speaks about it, or they do here and there when it's so big they can't be quiet about it. But or if they see it's like a curiosity. Mm-hmm.
Curiosity.
Yeah.
Got it.
So here's my slang, dude. It's this underground monster. It's huge. We, even before the Pumpkin United thing, we were playing in front of 3,000 people in Germany as well. So it was not like very small clubs or something. Mm. It was still good. And then you have like this big pop. German pop acts, they play the same sizes, if even so, and they're on the media, and you think like they're so famous and huge. So heavy metal and rock music is huge in the underground. So you have people playing, nobody notices it, but they have their fans and they're playing in front of loyal fans.
Yeah. How do you guys, I was going to ask you, like, how did you guys learn to speak English? Because everybody speaks very good English.
I learned it on the streets.
Did
the best
you?
Way is going out there, being 22,
on tour,
and just go on the streets talking a lot of bullshit where nobody understands you, talking to the girls, they teach you a lot of stuff.
And promotion tours, interviews, of course, and when I came to the band, I was really, really bad. My English abilities were like really low.
Yeah.
So, and that was also job description. You gotta learn English. We're touring the world. You have to learn English.
It's true, right? Yeah.
So you need to be better in that, and you have, if you have to say something, you should speak the language, you know.
Which is smart. A couple more things I want to ask you about. One of the things you mentioned, "Rabbit Don't Come Easy." Album title, "Rabbit Don't Come Easy." Another one, it's a great record, but "Pink Bubbles Go Ape." What's the mindset behind these very strange album titles?
I would say, and somebody said it, and I would agree, every time we have the idea to do something with animals. it's weird and it goes down a little. Although it's funny, but it's still something different. So keep your hands off any animal.
Yeah. We're forbidden. You know? We're forbidden to do anything with animals.
That's
anymore.
Almost a Halloween trademark at the end of Rise and Fall. There's some farm animals. Yeah, yeah. I heard Mrs. God today. There's a little in there. You guys like the animals. What does that mean something to you guys? It's
just for the Halloween.
It's fun.
Nonsense.
It's fun and we're animals too. I mean, we're not. We have this humor that we compare a lot of things to animal behavior, you know, and also especially from cartoons and stuff like that. You know, you have this Donald Duck and you have the Roadrunner and those kind of cartoons, and instead of being what is this mock band called again? A Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Instead of being all the time Spinal Tap, we make the Spinal Tap things out of cartoon animal figures and stuff like that, you know. So,
well, there's certain humor too. Like
that was funny driving around with the car. There was that stopping sign on the street, says big stop. And then somebody wrote down, eating animals.
I remember, do you remember that one trolley I had for festivals years ago? It looked like a panda bear. It was a children's trolley, a children's little suitcase. And I thought it's funny. I bought it and I took it with me everywhere. And then at one festival, there was this Norwegian death metal band coming, and they were they had makeup on, like white makeup and black eyes and stuff like that. And we were leaving the festival, they were just arriving, and I was like, hey, you look like my suitcase, you know. So that's the kind of humor we have, you know.
Probably weren't allowed to laugh about it.
Yeah. But that's like, I'm from Canada, and there's a certain brand of Canadian humor that Canadians find hilarious that a lot of people don't understand, and it could be the same with German humor as well, right?
It's the same, and also it's about not taking ourselves too seriously. You know, because in that kind of genre, a lot of people are taking it very serious, and you gotta be metal and true and all that stuff. And for us, being like a big player in that genre, but don't taking it so serious, that's a lot of fun for us.
That's exactly what Halloween does, which is why I love the band so much. There's always a little bit of taking the piss out of yourself, which is important.
Yeah,
you know. Let's talk a little bit about Marcus when you guys did the Keepers 1 and 2 record in the States. Those records were both very, very huge for Halloween. It seemed like Halloween was on the verge of going to the next level. And then there was this big, long gap.
Yeah.
And Pink Bubbles Go Ape came out like 3 years later.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through the whole story, but why was that?
It was like there was a big struggle with the record company, Noise Records, at that time. We found out, people told us, we had the first gold album and the second gold album, and we had parties with those people, and they told us, it's great, you know. Just ordered a new Porsche and all that stuff. People were telling us this. Well, and we're standing there, all right. Where's my Porsche? I wrote the song.
Right.
And then thinking like that got you interested in what's going on in all that business stuff. Because, we didn't have so much of a clue about it. But then thinking, all right, where's all the money going? Mm-hmm. Checking out where it is. We got in struggle with law and record companies, and there was like, we actually, I don't know what that is called in English, when the law says, all right, or the court says, you're not allowed to do anything under your own name till we fix that problem.
Oh yeah, so you're like on a freeze, because, on a hold.
It's on a hold, the case, something like this. And so we weren't allowed to do anything.
Wow.
To do anything with the name Halloween, so we couldn't tour. We were actually rehearsing. People coming in saying, "Yeah, next month the case is going to be great, and we win that." And but it wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. The case went on and on and on and on, and we were like rehearsing for the studio, which was rehearsing for the Pink Bubbles Go. Hey, I guess that's also a reason why we kind of over rehearsed that record, because being on hold, not being allowed to go in the studio, we weren't even allowed to go in the studio, because that case was on hold. So we kind of over rehearsed that record. So you cannot really hear the songs anymore because they told us next month we're going to do the studio work. No, I'm sorry, it's going to be another 2 months waiting. And so it went on and on. And that's why we couldn't do anything. And that Kai decided to leave the band, not because of that, because of
other reasons,
private reasons and all that. And so the whole thing got a little weird and we still went on, but in a different way after all those like almost 2.5-3 years.
That must have been so frustrating to have this big and see all this momentum that you had built just kind of floating away.
And also in that time Ingo got a little weird because he wanted going on because he's not writing songs and stuff, and I was like, I wasn't writing songs at that time, but I wrote some rock and roll songs and had a rock and roll band called Mr. Prooster touring the very northern part of Germany, also like around Hamburg stuff like that, you know. That's what we did in that time, but he wasn't really satisfied with that too, so we couldn't go out with Halloween. We did a couple of shows here and there with that Mr. Prooster band, which was cool, a couple of friends sitting together, right?
That's just, yeah.
And that got us, well, that got him really weird as well. There was other reasons, but this too, you know, he couldn't go and do what he likes to do the best.
Play drums, yeah.
So, and yeah, that was a weird time, actually. Mm-hmm. And that got us a new guitar player coming in, Kai leaving, and then people expecting a cool Halloween album. And then giving them the Chameleon, that was the Pink Bubbles, right?
Pink Bubbles, yeah.
Which was different. Yeah, well,
yeah.
Tough times. It was still a cool record.
But it's a good record, yeah, but it's after 3 years,
after
Keepers,
and after all those hanging around, not being allowed to do anything, it was a weird feeling.
Mm-hmm. It's cool, though, you guys have a little tribute to Ingo in this set.
Yeah.
Like a dual drum solo.
Actually, that was Danny's idea.
Yeah. That's a great idea.
So he thought, like, that. I mean, you have...
Put it all together with it.
Yeah. He found it. It was a big task for him to find... Get this hold on the on this tapes, you know, old tapes, Ingo playing drums.
Yeah.
So you see him playing drums and they do this battle together, and that's really
cool.
So the first time I saw it, it was really we all didn't see it before the first show. Yeah. It was like he was telling us, yeah, I found this material of Ingo and I want to do a drum battle with him. It's going to be nice. And I didn't expect it.
It's great.
I didn't know the guy, you know, but it was really getting into your heart, you know.
It's like the most emotional part of the show, really. And that's where I start drinking my first beer with my old fella Ringo. You know, and we had, which also was like very, very emotional, having old friends from Hamburg coming into the show, seeing that. I got them backstage, I got them on the side of the stage, watching this, sharing a beer. They go like, I was in tears a couple of times. When you do it every day, you got, you see it, you drink a beer with Inga, okay, but then somebody's coming. We were hanging around with every day, each weekend, going out, having a party, and then they come see this, they start crying, and then we had his brother coming in, seeing that, going up in tears, and his sister, she's living in Spain now, she came over, you know, she was crying.
That's cool, man.
It's like a very, very emotional
remembering
part.
Your old brother, you know, and it kind of completes the circle of the original Halloween with the newer guys.
Yeah, he had to be in some way, and Danny did a great, great job involving him.
And honoring it, the legacy as well.
Yeah, it honors the fans too, like I said. People appreciate that, you know. Last few questions, you're talking about the new song that you guys wrote, Pumpkins United. How was that, putting that together? It's a great tune. Everybody's singing on it. Everyone's got solos on it. It's just everything you could want from Halloween in this 5.5-minute piece of music. How did that come together?
Actually, the first song idea came from Andy. So Andy had this, we wanted to do a song before the tour, of course, and he had a song idea, and then it was like a come together between Andy, Kai, and Michael Wycath. So then the main part in the end did Kai. We were at the rehearsals for the tour, and then Kai kind of figured it out how to get all the ideas and parts together and made a demo. And then it was really quick. It was like right before we went off to tour. Mm-hmm. So
but they wanted this song, and we kind of wanted it too, to see how it works to be, you know, working together yeah. again. But then it was not such a normal situation where you would sit down writing songs for like a studio album, because it was like a little bit squeezed into the live rehearsals, and everybody says like, "Ah, you gotta rehearse good, but you, in between, you have to have that song." And then you go, "Ah, yeah. Oh, shit, when do we do this song? And but we need to rehearse." So it was a little bit overstressed in a way. But
and there wasn't even time. There was no time for let's get all the ideas into one song of each member. And it was more or less let's let it flow. Who comes first goes first, and just let it flow the way it goes, you know, and that's how it went. Just worked out amazing, I think. Yeah, so
but I think in a normal situation where you only write songs without any rehearsing for the big tour, and everything has to be perfect, and they want you to rehearse good, but then write a song very good in between, it's
a lot of pressure. Yeah,
it's very not really cool in a way, but I think if you only write songs together this way, without any pressure for the live activities, it's going to be great.
Is that the plan, to do some more stuff?
If
the eternal question, right?
If I guess there's a future in some way.
I mean, right now it looks like we're sticking together the way we are, because the tour went so well, and it's still going on till end of the year, and we're getting along with each other so good, and it's a lot of fun. There's really some magic in the air, so it's really some magical moments we have together when we're on stage, and it would be a logical conclusion to do more music together. And
right, you know, it'd be a shame. I mean, if you guys didn't get along, or if nobody cared, but the way that it is now, it'd be a shame not to continue. And
also,
more.
As you mentioned before, there's a lot of songs we didn't do live now.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta get that on stage in a way.
One of my favorite lineups was back in 1988, and it was Iron Maiden, Kiss, yeah, David Lee Roth, Megadeth, Guns N' Roses, Halloween, Wembley Stadium. What do you remember about that?
I remember that was like Donington, right?
Yeah, Donington, yeah.
Oh, I remember just like coming with a van to that place, and people are already like mud gliding, and I never saw that.
Mud gliding?
Because you have that at Wacken now, but at that time there wasn't such a big festival like this, and they were mud gliding and throwing things to the stage, while the Bailey brothers, remember the Bailey brothers?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those two guys are talking some stuff to the people, and they were throwing like big salami sausages to the stage. I was going to say, this is a stage I have to enter. Oh, shit, I have to have a beer now.
There's so many people, right?
Yeah. Somehow it was working, but it was a little scary seeing that, being the one hitting that stage, and they had to clean the stage from all what they throw at the Bailey brothers. and then the Klimo State, they throw some stuff to us. They have these containers, they pee in something, they're flying around, and it was really, really kind of scary, but I was going to say, all right. Once I'm here,
yeah.
You couldn't get me off that stage, not even with a big salami.
What's the craziest country that you've played so far on this tour?
Oh,
on this one?
On this tour.
Was haben wir denn das letzte das erste Mal gemacht?
Malaysia was yeah, for the first time
that
on
was,
this tour.
That was crazy. Yeah.
First time you've ever been to Malaysia?
First time to Malaysia. And what else? Of course, we Mexico City was an outstanding show, yeah, yeah, with this huge arena. I think it was about 10,000 people.
Yeah.
And we've been there many times, but never in that kind of huge arena. And there's so many outstanding gigs. But of course, it's nice to get into some new ground, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like having something like Malaysia you never went before. And for me personally, I enjoy the traveling part the most, so mm-hmm, besides going on stage, you know? So it's nice to experience new countries and
have
meet people.
Have you been to Japan yet on this tour?
Yes, we've been. Okay. We've made a whole tour there.
Because that was always a stronghold.
Totally. So we played four shows in a row in Tokyo alone, so that was even there it was a little step up.
Yeah, yeah.
And we could have played Budokan, which was really a shame for us.
It was that close.
Oh.
Because as I told you, nobody knew what happened.
How big it would be, yeah.
When you book a place that's really, really too big, which you not know when you stop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then it can be a pain in the ass. And so people were kind of careful. And then in the end of the day, they booked four times they booked Tokyo. That could have been one
show at Budokan. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was telling the fans, oh, hello, you fans out there in Japan, see you all at Budokan. Because Michael Schenker live at Budokan. And all the
Cheap
great
Trick,
record,
Kiss, Cheap Trick, Kiss. You know, Beatles.
That would be something, you know.
Next.
That was that close.
Next time. Last question. What's your favorite song to play live? And what's your favorite Halloween song that you've never played live?
Ooh, that's hard to say. Eagle is one of my best. Not playing live or whatsoever is always one that represents Halloween.
A little solo for you.
Very, very good.
Yeah.
Not only that, but the way that energy, that kind of energy maybe.
What about you, Sasha?
It changes over the time. So I really like to play Halloween. I really like to having this like big metal opera in the beginning of the show.
Yeah. It's a great way to open the show.
Yeah, it's really fun and I'd like to see more songs from the Andy era on the next tour maybe. So there's still a song I'm preaching for every tour, like let's play Push, for example.
Yeah. Oh, great tune! Yeah,
Push would be a song. I we've played so many songs already from the back catalog, but I never played Push.
That's funny. We have a new situation going on. If you plan what songs you're gonna do for the next tour, it's gonna be like, oh, let's play this song, let's play that song. And if you agree, then you find out Andy's or Kiske or Andy, either one of them are singing much more than the others. It's gotta be
even.
It's gotta be even out, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then we think, we got this one out and this mic is something, and then because you cannot have him singing
right,
for
2 hours
and the others just like only drinking wine.
My favorite obscure Halloween song, Shit and Lobster.
Yeah.
Written by Marcus.
Yeah.
That's a great tune.
Yeah, it's not.
I love that song.
Lyrics.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much. I'm excited to see the show tonight.
You're coming with us for the bus?
I think your bus is full, but I'm going to be there on another bus, but I'll be side stage.
Oh, is it? Oh, all right.
I'll be your roadie tonight. If you need some water or somebody to wipe off your forehead, I'll do it.
You bring some beers. Let's go.
You guys, you prep the water real good, or I just kick your ass.
Play a good show. Is that your trucker voice, or is that your wrestling voice?
No, it's wrestling. Don't make fun about my wrestling voice.
It's third voice.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. Thanks again to Helloween, one of my favorite bands of all time, Marcus Groskopf and guitar player Sasha Gerstner. The Pumpkins United Tour kicks off in the United States this Friday, September 7th, at the House of Blues in Las Vegas. All the dates and ticket information at helloween.org. All right, go check them out. They're the best in the world at what they do. One of the best power metal bands of all time. Actually, forget that. The best power metal band of all time. I saw them headline the Pheasant Festival in Hungary. I loved it. They sounded so great. So if you're in Las Vegas, go check it out. And go check out all the other dates. They're doing Los Angeles, Chicago, Boston, a few other areas. So do not miss Helloween. They are one of the best metal bands you'll ever see. And do not miss Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea. It's going to be one of the best vacations you've ever had. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Book your cabin. There's less than 100 cabins left. Did you hear me? Less than 100 cabins left if you want to join the fun. So book now. Don't be late. We set sail October 27th. And remember, once you book, all the activities on the ship are all inclusive, all free. Everything included in the price of the cabin, even your food, all the live podcasts, concerts, comedy shows, meet and greets, autograph signings, wrestling matches, rock and roll shows. Only thing you pay for aboard the ship, alcohol and gambling. And the big main event, the Alpha Club versus the Bullet Club. I attacked Kenny Omega at All In and I told him, I'll see you on the Jericho Cruise. It's Kenny Omega and Jericho part two via the Alpha Club versus Bullet Club. The Bucks of Jericho, a.k.a. Y2 Jackson. Versus Kenny Omega, Cody, and Marty Scurll. You can only see this on the cruise. So buy your cabin now at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Don't forget Impact versus Ring of Honor. Sami Callihan versus Marty Scurll, a no rules deck fight match. It's not a street fight because it's on a boat. It's a deck fight. All systems go. There's nothing banned, nothing disqualified. You can't lose via hitting somebody over the head with a pie plate. if that's what they have on a ship. I don't know. Also, we got a dream match, LAX versus the Young Bucks. Johnny Mundo on the ship challenging the Bullet Club along with Brian Cage and the LAX. We're going to find out what happens with that. Live Talk is Jericho with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Live Talk is Jericho remembering Eddie Guerrero with Conan and Rey Mysterio. Live Talk is Jericho with the entire Bullet Club. Live Talk is Jericho with Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler. Mick Foley doing his 20 Years of Hell stand-up show, talking all about his days, his time when he did the Hell in the Cell, the initial Hell in the Cell match. Also, Keeping It 100 versus Killing the Town. I mean, that's going to be insane. Conan versus Don Callis. Disco Inferno versus Paul Lazenby, as he'd say. Don't forget about the first round of the Ring of Honor, Sea of Honor tournament as well. Bracket A, Lethal versus Whitmer. Daniels versus Delirious. Skrull versus Titus, Young versus Gordon, Bracket B, Mark Briscoe versus Will Ferrara, Adam Page versus Kazarian, Chiberga versus the Beer City Bruiser, Jay Briscoe versus Kenny King, so much other stuff going on. Beyond the Darkness will be there telling scary tales. Colt Cabana, Marty DeRosa doing the Unprofessional Wrestling Show. Busted Open will be there with Dave LaGreca. Live comedy from Brad Williams, Craig Gass, Ron Funches, The Impractical Jokers, Sal and Q, and of course the rock and roll shows. Corey Taylor will be there of Slipknot and Stone Sour. Phil Campbell, The Bastard Sons, Fozzy will be playing King, The Stir from Atlanta, The Dave Spivak Project featuring Rybo on drums, The Cherry Bombs, The Darlings of Rock and Roll, The World's Greatest AC/DC Female Cover Band, Shoot to Thrill, Blizzard of Ozzy, The World's Best Ozzy Cover Band, SoCal Val, Special Cruise Director, Special Host Noelle Foley, Kelly Klein, Mandy Leon, Sumi Sakai will be there from Women of Honor, Brandi Rhodes is going to be there. What else do you want? Listen, come on, I flew all the way from Little Rock to Chicago to be it all in, to let you guys know you don't want to miss the cruise. It is something special. Less than 100 cabins left. ChrisJerichoCruise.com. Don't you dare miss it. And if you need more proof that you need to be at Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, this Friday, it's all in. We talk all about, what am I going to call it? From All In to Fozzy, Kansas City. Chris and Jack's excellent adventure. Me and Jack Slade traveled all the way across the country to do the attack on Kenny Omega. All the behind-the-scenes stories, and believe me, it didn't go as smoothly as you might have think, from people taking pictures and trying to post it on the net to having the wrong costume. Pentagon brought the wrong costume. The lightning storm that we almost missed, the Fozzy show in Kansas City. It's quite the adventure live here on Friday. It's Chris and Jack's excellent adventures. We tell all about the story as we went from Little Rock to Chicago All In to Fozzy, Kansas City. Don't you dare miss it. It's a great, great story. We'll see you on Friday. Until then, in the meantime, and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy.